Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Blue Moon.
Welcome to the Man City Show. It's Nigel Rothman back in the chair. So as we look back on 2023 and look forward to 2024, it's an opportunity this week to celebrate on the Man City Show. 2024 brought us quite a lot, really. I listed it. Undefeated at home in the year. Champions League, remember that? FA Cup, Premier League, Super Cup, and recently Club World Cup. Record revenue and profits. Further expansion and redevelopment planned at the Etihad and their complex. So to discuss that and much more, I've got three expectant blues. Welcome, Sarah Messenger. Hi, Sarah.
Hello, Nigel.
Welcome to David Blakeney. Hi, David.
Hi, Nigel.
And welcome, a view from a blue, Stephen Allwise. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Nigel. Good to be here.
Listen, Stephen, when you hear that list, when you see that list, and you may well want to add some other things I've missed off. You know, we haven't mentioned Haaland or Pep, or, you know, we're gonna put a whole load of stuff added to that list if you like. But when you hear that and just reflect on that just for a moment, how does that, as a City fan, how does that make you feel, Stephen? We're the best team in the land and all the world.
We are. And it's nice that we developed that song years and years ago just so we could sing it now and be factually accurate. It's unbelievable when sort of you list all those achievements. None of us follow any football club or follow City specifically because we want to kind of, we expect to win everything or we want to win everything. You follow a club for more than that. And obviously we've had a long time of not winning things and not being so successful, but you still support them and you still go to games and you still back them and follow the club. So I think for a lot of people, the last year and the domestic treble before we've won the other two more recently is kind of a reward, I guess, for that loyalty over the years. And you look at the players we have, the manager we have, the quality of football that we play, we're absolutely privileged to watch it. And I think what 2023 has given us are memories that will last a lifetime.
It's difficult to comprehend how much better it's going to get. Now, we will look forward, Sarah, in a second, but just reflecting on what Stephen's just said, you know, what a time to be a City fan. All the sort of pain that we've been through all over the years, as he indicated, to be here now and to just think about that list. And as Stephen rightly says, the quality of the football, the quality of the players that we have within that squad, world-class players in every single position and world-class players to back most of those up as well, of course. It is just such a special time.
It is. I think Stephen put it really well, and I'd echo everything that he said. It is partly a reward for all the years of suffering, although there's plenty of fans who support clubs who have had years and years of suffering, and to be frank, they'll just carry on having years and years of suffering. So we did get very lucky. And I think I would say that I do feel really proud. I wish that the spectre of charges against us wasn't looming in the background, because I don't think it taints it for us as City fans, but I think it allows the media and others to get away with not giving City completely the credit that they deserve, because no team has ever done what we did in 2023. At the start of the year, none of us thought that would happen. We weren't in a particularly strong position. We will never forget the year and all the highs it gave us, and that sense of, you know, that prediction of being the best club in the land and all the world that was echoed, as you said, recently on the BBC, Nigel, by Gary Cook, what, 12, 13 years ago, finally did come true. So, it is huge pride. And when we won before we won the Premier League or the FA Cup in 2011, I said, please, God, just win one trophy in my lifetime and I'll be happy. So I think we can be more than happy with what happened last year.
What are you particularly pleased about, David? I mean, the two, Sarah and Stephen, have really summarised it beautifully. What gives you most pleasure looking back on this last sort of 12 months, this year, this amazing year of 2023 and all of this success?
Well, in January, when we were 2-0 down at half-time to Spurs, yeah, it felt a really bad moment. What was going on? We weren't playing great. How did 6 months later come and we win that treble in the way we won it? It was quite remarkable, the run we went on. It was our third league, third Premier League on the run, as well as being the treble. It's all the records. It just goes on and on. Unbeaten, as you said, in records, Haaland and how many goals he got, goes on and on and on. And I sort of feel like I just want to win four on the bounce now, just because no one else has done it. And like, you think, I'll be satisfied, the treble, we can all be, and if we don't win anything this year, it doesn't matter, now we're all happy. But suddenly we are, like, we want to win the fourth one, we want to do more. And that's because Pep wants it as much as anyone. So also, I still pinch myself that we've got Pep. I think I still don't believe. You still look at Pep with us and go, he's our manager. And I find that quite amazing. There were great moments last year, but it's just, when you look back, you go, how does any team do what we achieved? And to be honest, I was very wanting as desperately to win the Super Cup and the Club World. I mean, to get those two, whatever people say, just to be there and play in it and then to win it like we did, I just said, we're the best team in the world, officially, and we won five titles. And I don't know, it's beyond belief.
I mean, I'll come back to Pep in a second. Sarah, in terms, it's not just kind of on the field either. You referred to my piece on the BBC Sport website, on the Man City page, which I do every week. And I referred to this, which is kind of, it's not just the stuff on the field and the fantastic players we've got. It's the management and the stewardship and the long-term investment and just the amazing business brains that we have that has developed this brand, this worldwide brand. It's not just about what happens off the pitch. Record profits, record turnover, record profits. We know about the amazing expansion plans for the Etihad, match day experience, and all that sort of stuff as well. That's all part of that joy, isn't it, of the enjoyment we're having at the moment, seeing, you know, others not so far away with leaky roofs and having a reputation for maybe not the greatest stadiums in the, not that I would want to mention them at all on this show, but you know what I'm talking about. So it isn't just about what's going on the pitch, is it? It's everything about this club.
Well, obviously the accusation that gets thrown at us all the time is we bought our way to all this success, and none of us are naive enough to deny that money hasn't been a significant part of the journey, but it's what you do with it. And I won't list them now, but we could all cite plenty of examples of football clubs that are not well run. City is a textbook. They will write books about how to take a I wouldn't say struggling, but a sort of mid-table team with a loyal, decent set of fans and turn them into a global phenomenon, which is what we're becoming. And we all know that our fan base will grow and grow if the success continues. But the other thing I was going to say, and it links to your point, Nigel, around all the other things that are successful, the academy, the women's team, you know, that you can, all the work in the community, the redevelopment in East Manchester. Football is a hugely emotional sport. I know anyone who likes a sport will say it's all hugely emotional, but the reality is when City were terrible and an embarrassment and causing us pain on a weekly basis, none of us changed teams because we're emotionally attached to them. And so the pride that comes from the success that we've generated beyond the pitch feeds into that emotional relationship that we all feel with the club. And so it's a double source of pride. It's the trophies, but it's also how we conduct ourselves and the difference we're making.
And that Sarah has mentioned a couple of times, I'm trying to stick with celebration here, Stephen, and sticking with the positives, but she's kind of mentioned that, yeah, money is always going to be mentioned. But actually, as she also says, it isn't always about money. Lots of football clubs have invested money, have had money, but haven't spent it and haven't used the resources they have around them and the skills around them, as well as City have. That's what it's about, isn't it, with this club at the moment?
Exactly. You know, it's the reality of football nowadays that if you're a big club and you want to sign a good player, you're going to have to spend a significant amount of money. And we have done that. And there's probably three other elements. One is, our scouting is clearly very good because in addition to spending 100 million on Grealish or the eye-catching numbers that you read, Alvarez cost 14 million. You know, any Premier League club could pay that amount.
What's he done this year exactly? What has he achieved this year?
He virtually won nothing. You know, Akanji, who we signed on deadline day, for I think, 16, 17 million? Again, any Premier League club can afford that. He was fourth or fifth choice, I think, at Dortmund in Germany before we went for him. So, you know, there's an element of scouting in there. There's an element of actually, we don't just spend money for the sake of it. The hit rate on players that we sign is astonishing. You know, we can all name Calvin Phillips as one who hasn't worked, and I'm sure he'll go in January. Pretty much everybody else who we've signed is able to be moulded into the player that Pep wants or is ready right there and then to fit into the system. So it's very targeted who we go for. And then the third element, which probably gets forgotten because of all the money that we spend and the accusations that get thrown around, is the quality of the coaching. The players improve and the ability that Pep and his assistants and the coaches at the club have to develop players, mould them into a system that works for the squad that we have and the opposition we're playing against. That's brilliant. That's the essence of coaching. And we are, I think David said it, incredibly lucky to have Pep, because I think for all the players that we have and the money that we have, if Pep was with any of our title rivals, they would win the league. Pep is a genius. And we are privileged to have him, and long may that continue. We don't obviously know how long he's going to have left with us, but it is just a joy to watch. And you know, everyone's got money, but we spend it very well.
So just on the money thing, David, and I want you to kick off on Pep for us straight afterwards. Just briefly on the money, you've got anything to add on that? Sort of when you're in your boardroom meetings around the world, as you do, as we know, how do you defend City? What do you say about the money bags club from East Manchester?
Well, I received something from the red side of Manchester, a friend of mine, trying to wind me up. And it said something like, never ask a woman of her age, a man his salary, and Man City for their financial records from 2009 to 2015 or whatever. Yeah, that's all they can now resort to. But I said to him, what's that got to do with it? We haven't cheated on the field, have we? We haven't spent more money than anyone else. So whatever's happened, we spent less money, net money, especially in the last 5 years, a lot less than other people. We haven't cheated on the field. We've won it because we're the best team and the best coach. We are also, not only did we make a record in sale turnover this year, it was a world record, I think. I don't think any club's ever taken 700 million or pretty close to a world record. Yeah, well, that just shows the power. How does little old City take 700 million? So, but we spend it wisely. Yes, we bought one player at 100 million, but we've spent it quite wisely, the money as well. And let's just average out how many trophies have we won for the money we've spent? The ratio is so much better than anyone else. So it says it all, really, doesn't it? But people just don't want to hear that.
So let's turn on to the genius then, that is Pep Guardiola then, David. And we talk about this, you know, quite regularly on this particular show, but this is a celebration of what has been the most fantastic year. And you've all said quite rightly that so much of the credit, yeah, we've got some great players, but he improves players. He is a genius. He frustrates us from time to time. We've got lots of complaints, I'm sure. We probably won't go back to Porto this week on the show, but there have been frustrating times and frustrating decisions and substitutions not made and odd selection. But just let's, if we are celebrating, let's just celebrate the fact that Pep Guardiola is our manager. And just, that is just unreal, isn't it? With everything that we've just enjoyed in the last 7 years.
We're kind of unreal because it's 8 or 9 years later and we're still pinching ourselves, walking out every game we walk out and he walks out at our ground. He is our manager. I think what I love about Pep, I think he's getting better at the moment in the way, like last season, he's sort of a bit more comfortable now. I don't think I think last year he just did what he wanted to do last year, and he does seem a bit more comfortable in himself now. He doesn't get wound up as much. I think he's making less mistakes than he probably made, and you know, I just love seeing him. He has got the charisma, yeah, worldwide. Wherever he goes in the world, he is the Don, isn't he? He is the godfather of football worldwide, wherever you go. Yeah, no one touches him now. And you could stick him in any country, anywhere, and they would go, God, there's Pep Guardiola. Yeah, and no one has got anything on him. That's pretty cool, isn't it? And he's our manager.
He's the best. The best ever, Sarah? We can say that, can't we?
I think he is. I think absolutely believe he is. And I think it's partly about the fact that he wins a lot of trophies, and yes, he goes to successful clubs, but let's get real, he's hardly going to go to Hereford United, is he? I mean, you know, the best people go to the best organisations or the best companies. There's nothing odd about that. But it's also the fact that, as many people acknowledge now, the way he plays football permeates football at every level now in this country, as well as across Europe. I'm not necessarily going to give him credit for all the leagues that he's never managed in, but I'm definitely going to give him credit for the fact that if I occasionally glimpse the odd League Two game on the TV, they all play out from the back. I may not be very good at it, but they all try it and play in the way that Pep Guardiola, and certainly most Premier League teams, if you don't get, you know, we haven't had a Wimbledon in the Premier League for a long time. So that to me is the sign of a genius, somebody who can transform the way an entire sport is played. What greater accolade can you give him other than to say that is down to Pep Guardiola?
I don't think Paul Caddis is going anywhere just yet at Hereford United anywhere, just showing him enormous knowledge of football down in the lower leagues. So if you're listening, Paul, your job is safe. I can tell you that from me, and I know he listens every week. Stephen, Paul Caddis. No, sorry, Pep Guardiola. Sorry, forgive me.
No, I think Sarah's absolutely spot on. I was going to make that same point, that it's almost the biggest legacy he'll leave on English football is that other clubs, other managers copy him. You know, almost in every Premier League club now, the first priority for any goalkeeper is to be able to play out from the back. And that's because as soon as Pep came in, he decided Joe Hart cannot do that. And the English media fans, you know, he was England's number one, were up in arms. But Pep knew, does not matter how many shots he'll save, if he cannot use his feet well enough to be a part of the build-up, then he has to move on. So Edison is the best in the world at that. But you look at what Pep did with Stones, you know, initially moving from right back into midfield and then centre back into midfield. So we've got that extra body there. I'm sure all of us, when we're frustrated with Pep and team selections and not making subs, we think, oh, he could have done this, he could have done that, he could have swapped the wingers. I don't know anyone who thought, okay, John Stones is the missing piece of the jigsaw moving into midfield. But now look at what Klopp, who is a brilliant manager in his own right, does with Alexander-Arnold doing it. Arteta does it with Zinchenko moving into midfield. Everyone is copying him. So Pep has changed English football. But at the same time, I do think to a degree, Pep has been changed by the Premier League and that physicality and the need to, you know, win the second balls. Because for all of our brilliant attacking play, we don't get physically shrugged off. You know, you look at, we've got defenders who are all 6 foot plus and big and strong, good in the air. Rodri does that as well. Haaland, you're not going to mess with. So Pep has been able to bring his style of football, possession football, intricate passing, all of that, but allied it to this kind of big, strong physical unit that means he can win in all competitions and he can win the treble.
Sarah, what have I missed from my list? You know, we've gone through kind of the list of what's happened on the pitch. We talked about off the pitch, we talked about Pep. What, you know, sitting here reflecting, celebrating this amazing club. Is there anything on that list or any other thoughts you've had about if we are going to be celebrating? Let's chuck this into the mix tonight. Let's get David all excited about this as well. And that's not, that's too difficult. No, let's get go on, Sarah.
I think we've touched on it, but perhaps we could make a little bit more out of the fact that we almost now have a conveyor belt of producing real talent from the academy, that, as we know, they're not all going to play for City, but, you know, a few have. And certainly, well, Foden is a fantastic player and is absolutely at the heart of the squad. Rico Lewis is moving slowly into that kind of position. We've sold Cole Palmer, who's ripping it up at Chelsea. You know, there's a kind of, it's all part of the culture of the club, isn't it? And yet, you know, even though it's a big business and they're about making money and being successful and they run it with a, you know, like a proper business, they've never, in my opinion, never forgotten the fact that the most fundamental ingredient in all of this is the fans. And some of the things they've done, whether it's taking trophies around, you know, the fact that they do various things for people at the ground, if it's a particular celebration, et cetera, all the work in the community, which we've mentioned, but it is worth another mention because it's really important. The investment in the women's team, a few others caught up eventually, but City were certainly the first to give professional contracts to women players and put them on a salary so that they actually could play football full time rather than have to combine it with a job. All of those things are innovative and I think important in terms of that, the culture that underpins everything we do.
Before we move on, Stephen, and then David, what else, anything else you want to add? It's a pretty exhaustive list that Sarah's already added. Do you want to pick up anything she said or add anything else?
The two little areas I feel maybe we missed out on, are we giving enough of the great talent enough of the opportunities? I think sometimes we have had chances to give some of the young kids more game time. Not that doesn't necessarily happen. You know, if you looked at the last Champions League game and some of the guys played that day, there's I don't know the name of the guy who's in the under-17s, played for England in the World Cup, who apparently was the best of all of them, who's meant to be fantastic. I just think maybe we could play the youngsters a little bit more. I mean, look at Palmer and the chances he's got. He's done very well with it. And maybe we didn't give Palmer enough chances to play and show that. Maybe that's the only thing we might have missed out on. And you could slightly argue this year in replacements for some of the great players who left us haven't got up to speed and it's taken them more time. But then I think we were just unfortunate to have injuries and players leaving. So there was a bigger hole than we would normally have with the injuries and players who left. Because most of our players do take time to settle in. Very rarely do we get players that settle in that quick. So that was a little bit unfortunate. But that's just the only thing. I mean, as you said, the whole club, yeah, is literally a star all the way through from top to bottom.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Stephen, anything to add? Okay. All right. He's shaking his head. He's had enough. Listen, how long can this last then? Is it literally all about if Pep stays on another year and another year, then it'll just keep going? Or is this a case of actually we've got the leadership there. We've got the model in place. There will be who's the next Pep coming around the corner? Is it all about Pep or is it more about the ownership and leadership of the football club? Which way round is it? I don't know whether Stephen's given up completely or if he wants to.
No,
he's back with us. Hello, he's not bored anymore. He wants to get involved.
No, the Pep is there because everything in the years leading up to Pep was designed for him. So the fact it was Soriano and Cheeky from Barcelona, everything was geared towards having Pep as our manager. So I think as long as he's there, then obviously we'll be favourites for the league and the Champions League, and we will have a huge amount of success. As and when he leaves, we're obviously not going to drift too far down the leagues. We're still going to be one of the favourites. We're still going to have these excellent players. But I don't think it will be a dynasty in the same way that, you know, it is under Pep or it has been at the team across the road before that. So who the next manager is, I don't know. You can all sort of see there's certain managers who play the type of football that resembles what we do. And, you know, there's flavours of the month and then they get a job and then they disappear. So, you know, you back our ownership and the football side of things to get that appointment right. But, you know, we're not going to be a United and suddenly scramble around to finish in the top four or finish in the top six and have all these issues. We're still going to be a brilliant football club, but Pep is the absolute driving force behind what we're doing right now.
I'm going to put a tenner on Paul Caddis at Hereford United, I think, before the evening's out. I think it's a long shot, but I think it might be worth a tenner. Sarah, how long can it last?
Insider knowledge, Nigel. Why do you think I brought Hereford United up? It will be different when Pep's gone. And like Stephen says, none of us know who, with his various names mentioned, none of us know who might succeed him. But the thing that gives me a sense of optimism is that, and you know this from the work you do, Nigel, any organisation that is defined solely by the leader it has and the behaviours and the skills of that leader, but doesn't have an embedded culture and way of operating that can survive the departure of any particular person, is always going to be an organisation that's in trouble. And that's why culture matters so much, and why I think, I mean, City, there's no way they're going to do what United did, which is tap Ferguson on the shoulder and say to him, who do you think should succeed you? Oh, my mate David Moyes, bring him in. He's a good Scot. He'll be fine. City will already have a plan after plan after plan for who they think should succeed Pep. And I trust them completely to get the decision right, even though that change will bring an era to an end and we won't necessarily immediately flow on winning Premier League title after Premier League title.
The last words with you, David, before we move on to a bit of fun, again, celebrating 2024 with a bit of a reflection on some of our favourite moments. What do you want to add in terms of how long this could, to the question, how long could this last?
I think Sarah's right, really. They've planned it. They know they want to bring in. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. There's too much infrastructure, too much DNA in that club now to go completely off piece like the other lot did. But I think they've got so much knowledge and so bright, and they are the best in the world at what they do. It would take a real bad decision in the next manager to screw it all up. It really would have to be a really bad screw up. So I doubt that would happen.
I'm sure you're right. Listen, let's rattle through this next bit. I thought we'd try and bring the year 2023 to life a little bit by, and I gave you a bit of homework to do before we came on, so this is not off the top of your head, so I'm sure there'll be huge quality from all three of you here because you've had at least 10 minutes warning on these questions I asked. We're going to kind of ask a few questions, kind of bests and fate moments this season. So let's start with best match then. I don't know, Stephen, so from your point of view, if this morning I sent you a little message saying I'm going to ask a few questions, best match, what popped into your head? 2023.
I think in terms of quality of our performance and significance of the game, it would be the Champions League against Real, the home game, where we won 4-0, but we came into the second leg, having drawn 1-1 at the Bernabeu, thinking that's a really good result. We've managed that game quite well. You know, obviously brilliant team, brilliant Champions League record. But the performance at home, we just blew them away. We had a total dominance in a way that you don't see other teams do against Real. We were just brilliant. Bernardo scored 2 in the first half, and then we scored a couple more late on. It was almost kind of perfection of what Pep would want in terms of both legs, actually controlling the away leg, you know, coping with that atmosphere, coping with the pressure, and then just brushing them aside at home in this display of just sensational attacking football.
And to remind ourselves, this is Real Madrid. This is not Hereford United. This is Real Madrid we were playing, of course, just to remind ourselves. It was fantastic. Brilliant. David?
I would say, absolutely, I have to say, one in Europe and one in the Premier League. Real Madrid, without doubt, best match in Europe. I would say Arsenal at home in the Premier League was also just sublime. So I would say, I have to say these two because I have two for different reasons. But
all right, you're allowed two. Sarah?
Well, there's a unity amongst us here because I think Real Madrid was definitely the best performance. An exciting match to watch. So I totally agree with the guys on that. But if we're allowed to, I also agree with David. I think I've been tossing at which of the Arsenal games to go for. I'm actually going to go for Arsenal away just because at that point in the season, I think if they'd beaten us, they went, I don't know, 10, 11. They went a long way ahead of us and we didn't. We won it. And with a resolute, it wasn't a sparkling performance, but it was a resolute performance. And I think I'd go for Arsenal away as being definitely the best Premier League performance.
I was toying with that as well.
Yeah. As they say, I was there. That was some night. Good. Best goal. I'm rattling through these now. Best goal. Sarah, you kick us off with best goal.
Well, I'm going to go.
You can only have one.
I'm going to go Gundogan in the FA Cup final.
We all wrote that down, didn't we, hey?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah,
we did.
Full house.
I knew you did, because I did too. Good, right. Best player. We might have written the same one down.
It's got to be the only one.
Well, I don't know if there is, you see, because I'm sure you put Haaland down, but...
No.
Oh, good. Well done. You put Rodri as well then, did you?
Rodri. 100%.
All put Rodri. Isn't that funny? So none of us put Haaland. That now he listens every week as well. He'll be so pissed off now. God, excuse me. So put yourselves in Erling's shoes. He's won every single. He's broken every record. He's won every single award, and we haven't got him down as our best player. What
Do you
happened
know why?
There? Go on.
Because we can
help
win
the,
a game.
Help the seven listeners to understand that, Sarah.
Because we can win a game without Haaland. We can't win a game without Rodri.
That's right, isn't it? That's something. That says something about Rodri, doesn't it? What a player. What a player he is. He's got everything, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Rodri, we love you. Favourite moment?
It has to be the Champions League.
Of course it has. Of course it has.
It has to be.
Got to be, hasn't it? There's nothing else going to transpire. Just like Gundogan's goal. Argue against.
The favourite moment was actually the final whistle. Not the game. The game itself was not a favourite moment.
I wrote down Champions League final whistle. Were the words
that's
I wrote
exactly
down.
Champions outside.
When that whistle went, did you cry, Sarah Messenger?
I did.
Did you cry, David Blakeney? Yes is all I need. David Blakeney, did you cry?
I actually didn't cry, no. Okay. I had a very different emotion.
Okay, I did. Stephen Allwise, did you?
I did not. because all the issues getting out of the game happened later, so I cried then.
I couldn't control myself. It was just, it's just all that emotion, because it was not a great game, and we weren't necessarily the best side either on the night, but just, that was the best moment, wasn't it?
Sheer relief.
Exactly, that whole emotion.
Sheer relief, yes.
We've talked about the youngsters, and I wanted to include this in here, and we kind of did touch on it. I didn't sort of spend too much time exploring it when somebody raised it, and the whole academy system and what an amazing job we've done, and some we've retained, and they won't all play for City. But in terms of the best youngster, and we'll have different views about Carlton Palmer, whether he should have gone or shouldn't have gone, but he's gone, so we can't include him. Who have you written down then? Stephen, who have you got? I know you've got a really keen eye on the youngsters over watching a City.
I think if we discount Foden, because he's, what is he now, 22, 23, he's been around for a few years, he's unbelievable. He's an absolute joke of a footballer. He should start every game for us and he should be England's main man. He's sensational. But if we don't think of him as a youngster, then I think it has to be Rico Lewis.
Yeah.
And partly because, as David said, we don't actually, Pep generally doesn't blood too many of the kids or give them too much of a kind of important role in the team in significant games. But Pep does with Rico. He trusts him. He plays him at right back, he plays him in midfield. He's happy to throw him in away from home. He puts him in for the big games. He just fits exactly what Pep wants.
He's got lost and called, he's misfired in one or two games. I wouldn't say he's starred in all games, has he?
No, he's brilliant for his age, for his experience. And he's the one actually that Pep credits for giving him the almost brainwave to move Stones into midfield, because Rico did it after the World Cup. He did it for a handful of games and made sure we had that extra body in midfield so we could control the ball. But Stones almost used him as the example, because Stones does it with more experience, more physicality, a bit more quality. But I think Rico has got such a bright future ahead of him.
David, are you going Rico as well? You got another name on your list?
No, I've gone Rico. I don't know why, since the England, I mean, anyone at 18... Yeah, to get into the England side and be player of the match for England at 18 years old was absolutely ridiculous. Just for some reason, he's just not been around much the last few weeks, has he? And I don't know why. I thought he'd have a bit more game time, but he hasn't, has he?
Do we have a full house, Sarah? Or have you got
We do have a full house, yeah. I mean, he's a different kind of player to Foden, isn't he? So he's not the one who's going to go on the mazy runs and play like David Silva is. But I think in longer term, he's going to be fundamental to that team. So
did Oscar Bob enter your heads at all as a close second, or is he just...
Oscar Bob has got unbelievable potential, but he's just not played enough. Pass of his the other day just says it all.
That's kind of why I mentioned it. Just that one pass has made me think, wow.
Well, that just shows how good he is. He's going to be brilliant. I think he's going to be better than Rico, but not yet.
See, I do as well, you see. It's not just that pass. You know, you look at these things and what do we know? We're just fans, aren't we? Let's be honest. We know nothing.
I think he's more of a natural world-class player.
I do. I wrote him down, actually. I did. I just think Rico's, I'm just, there's something about him. I'm not sure. I don't think his height works to his favour. No, that's yes. We've had some fantastic small players over the years, of course, many internationals, etc. But there's something about him, and there's one or two games where he kind of went missing a bit. I'm just not sure. I'm not convinced. I'd love to be proved wrong. Love to be proved wrong. Stephen's shaking his head again at me. It happens all the time. Every time he comes on.
I wonder what you make of the very small Lionel Messi. He's not got height in his favour.
Exactly. And Billy Bremner wasn't a bad player, but ask your granddad about him; he'll tell you as well. So
Rico. Look, Rico can't do anything about his height, but
agreed.
It's unfair to compare him to Foden or Bob, because they're different players, different positions, different roles, different responsibilities. Rico is excellent, I think, at knowing his limitations. You won't see him try and dribble past players or play outside of the right foot 30-yard passes. Like, he's very good at taking up the right position, keeping the ball, keeping it moving, not letting us get counter-attacked or swamped in midfield areas. So I think for Pep, for what Pep wants, he's perfect.
When Oscar Bob starts a Champions League game that matters, and plays really well and makes a big difference, then we might come over to your side, Nigel. But for now,
you got my number. Give us a shout. Yeah, I expect that phone call from you, Sarah Messenger.
Yeah, you'll get it. Yeah. Don't you worry.
And if you want to talk about Messi, if Foden could score a few more goals, he's going to start being a new Messi.
As you all know, David Silva never scored enough goals for me either. That's why we'll never get in my all-time City 11 as well. But that's another argument for another day. We're moving on. This is a celebration, this is a celebration. Can we? I kind of hesitate before I ask this question, having talked about celebrating. I did write down on my list of questions for you to think about was worst player as well, which is always unfair. And I've struggled a bit with this one because we've had such an amazing year. How can you possibly even think about a worst player? And it's maybe not a great choice of words. Anybody who maybe has slightly underperformed, anybody you've been disappointed with, anybody who's not reached their full potential, let's say, it's maybe a bet. Any players in that category? David, what did you come up with as we look back?
I hate to say it, but probably the only one really who's not as good as he should be, even though he played reasonably well or quite well, is Grealish.
Wow.
Grealish was our player of the season from the World Cup onwards last season. He carried us.
I think he played well, but I'm talking about someone who should be better than he is. You read Souness's opinion on him and his reports on him, and I think it's bang on. He's played really well, but he's not as good as he should be. He's quite predictable. He doesn't seem to run as much, and he's not as free to run as much.
I think you look at times at, because we all know Pep generally doesn't throw players in. They take a year to get to grips, and Grealish did. Pep absolutely trusted Grealish. The second half of last season, he was in the team for every big game.
Yeah, but you're saying who's the worst, but I'm not saying he's not a great player, but how can you find a player who you will name worse than him then?
I think Grealish is easy to go at him because he doesn't have the numbers.
I know. Name the worst player then.
Who's on your list, Stephen? Answer David's question. You've had a go at him?
I think it's a very hard question because either they don't get given a game like Phillips or Gomez, or if they cause issues, someone like Cancelo is the name that came to mind, then that's almost worse for Pep when they cause issues in the squad. And would affect kind of that balance that he likes and the happy faces that he talks
about. The regular team.
I'd say Nunes from this season hasn't settled at all into the City.
He's not had too much of a chance yet, Nunes, either, has he really? He's not had many run-outs, has he? You think he's been given enough of a chance, Stephen, to shine?
No, I don't, but I just disagree with David and Grealish.
I'll tell you right. Yeah, no, sure. I think we both do, and I'm sure Sarah does as well. But
I do.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
You're outvoted on Grealish, David.
I think
Pep values his ability to draw three players to him and then move the ball on quickly more than he values him running down the right wing and hitting a screamer in the top corner. But it'd be nice if he did it every now and again, though. I'm going to go just to throw another name in the mix, not because he was terrible, not because, you know, there is nobody who had a bad season, but the player who always disappointed me the most was Mahrez. I was not disappointed when Mahrez went. He was a good player for us. He had some great moments. He scored some really good goals. I know he scored some important goals in the FA Cup and in the Champions League. But of an elite group of players who were fantastic in that season, he was the one I was least impressed by. So I'm going to go Mahrez.
Very good. Great first touch, of course, as we often used to say. You may remember you heard that here many, many times. Fanta, thanks for that. That's just a bit of a reminisce, but it'd be interesting to know your thoughts. You may have some different views in terms of your favourite goal or best match or best player or favourite moment or best youngster or who's worse than Jack Grealish, as David Blakeney would say. So maybe you can let us know. We're on X, formerly known as Twitter, at City Podcast. Let us know your thoughts on that. Let's move on then. Final segment of the show before we go. Let's kind of look forward then to this year, to 2024, and the fact that in terms of league position at the moment, we've got the top five are separated by 4 points, or the top four separated by 5 points, whichever way around it is, I can't remember, it's something like that. And of course, we've got a game in hand as well. And this is, of course, a team who couldn't win Got two of the best players in the world, not as good as Rodri, obviously, out, and string a load of draws together, but we're still in the mix. And we know that City can put a run together in the new year. So looking forward, with all of that in mind, yeah, 5 points separate the top four, I think, is the right way around, actually. With all this in mind, 2024, looking forward, Sarah Messenger, is this City's year? Are we going to do that four on the spin as David's hoping for? Is it going to happen?
I think we will. Yeah, I do. I mean, I think...
As long as we don't play Grealish too often, obviously.
No, he's all right with me. It's only if David's...
Oh, sorry, it's David. Sorry.
We'll do it because Mahrez has gone. The reason I think we will is we are still the best team in the league. We've definitely got the best manager. And the situation as we sit here on the 2nd of January could have been so much worse in terms of that, where we sit in the table in terms of, you know, we were all being told we could be 12 points behind Arsenal or Liverpool by the time we got back from Saudi. None of that's materialised. And we all know that Liverpool played last night. They played really well. They're a really good team. I think they're more of a threat than Arsenal. But the grind of winning a Premier League is something, the knowledge of how to do it and the experience of having done it is so invaluable. And I think that's what will hold us in good stead. I don't think we'll march away with it, but I do think we'll win it. So, and I'd be delighted, like David would, for us to get four in a row.
Stephen, Premier League, four on the bounce. First time it's ever been done, in the bag. City's nailed on, certainty.
Yeah. I think the thing coming into this season was, will we have the motivation to go again? You know, we've reached the absolute pinnacle of everything that the club has been building towards. Can we have that drive and determination to run the marathon of the Premier League? And in a sense, I think it probably helps us that other teams are dropping points, because it makes it more of a challenge for us and it gets that competitive spirit going. So I agree with Sarah. I think Liverpool are our biggest rival. They've had a bad year last year, but bounced back. And my fear is that everyone talks about the fact that come February, March, City now go on these winning runs of 14, 16, 18 games. Like, it's so hard to do that, and you do need things to go your way. And I just worry that one year we won't, and suddenly it'll be failure because we don't win the league. But yeah, I think if you'd have said to Pep, after all the challenges and injuries we've had during this season, you know, to go into the new year 2 points behind top of the table if we win our game in hand, with De Bruyne to come back, with Haaland to come back, with Doku to come back, with Stones hopefully to come back soon, then he'd have snapped your hand off. So, yeah, it'll be a thrilling second half of the season.
David, how do you see it then, finally?
50-50. I think Liverpool, obviously, the other threat. I am concerned that we don't know how to win games right at the end or basically shut shop anymore. I think there's too many errors at the end of these games. We're the only side who is not winning games right at the end, and we're the only side giving away stupid goals right at the end. And the sign of a champion, a Premier League team, is not there. So I'm a bit concerned this year. I'm not as confident, I'm afraid, Sarah.
She's not commenting. She's gone all quiet on us. She's reflecting.
We need to end on a high. No, I think, who knows, David? We're all guessing, aren't we? We're all guessing, but I'm still confident. Come May, we'll be there.
I'm still confident, and I've really enjoyed it this week. Thank you very much to my three guests, to Stephen Allwise, to Sarah Messenger, and to Jack Grealish's mate, David Blakeney. We bid farewell to another year. And I just say thank you for a great year. My 11th season in this chair. I look forward to one or two more, maybe, if you'll still have me. Thanks to our engineer, Leon, to our sponsors, supporters, my regular guests, and most important of all, of course, is to you, our listeners. Happy New Year. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you all very soon.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.